Time is 30 minutes past the hour here, and I'm delighted. I'm thinking of ways, Sid, introducing my next guest, and really just his name is sort of sums it all up.
Yeah, I guess that most people would know who David Icke is, and you know, his past career and his
broadcast. Well, should we speak to him?
Yeah, he's waiting for us.
Hi, David, how are you?
All right, Morris, how you doing?
How are you? David, I was looking at your website, and we thank you here in REM, just giving us a nice little piece there, but you put Sunday on it, so let's hope that we haven't missed a few of the...
All right.
You put the interview is going to be on tomorrow.
I didn't do that, so...
Wow. Anyway, it doesn't make any difference. We're delighted to have you here, David.
Okay.
We have spoke before. That was many, many years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I want to sort of... I think what we should do tonight, if that's okay with you, let the listeners find out who David Icke is and what David Icke is all about, because it's important. When I told people today that one of my guests tonight is David Icke, some reaction was, wow, you know, the guy's a bit loopy, and the other people would say he's a hugely intelligent man, and it's best, you know, instead of people jumping to conclusions, is to hear from the man himself.
Well, the difference between the two attitudes is between those who have bothered to read my work and those who get their instant opinions second-hand from tabloid newspapers. The difference.
Well, David, you know, we all suffer from that. One of the things is that I've always made this analysis. If I live next door to Rod Stewart, for example, and people arrived at my house for dinner and said, wow, you live next door to Rod Stewart, I would say, oh, he's only a tosser. You know, it's a throwaway line that I think people use either because they're jealous or they know nothing about the person.
Yeah, I've researched many different subjects over many, many years now, some 15, 16 years full time. The more that you understand about the world, the more you understand that increasingly it's obvious that 99.9% of what people believe is actually not true, not least because the sources of information that give them those instant opinions are not true. And most people are what a friend of mine calls repeaters. They just repeat what they've heard from someone else or from somewhere else, and you get lines like, well, everyone knows that, or they say this, and all that stuff. And then you say, well, hold on, how come everyone knows that? How do you know it from? Well, I heard it here. Well, where did that come from? And when you trace back these urban legends, if you like, you find that the source is simply unsustainable. But because it's just repeated and repeated and repeated, it becomes the accepted truth. Like Osama bin Laden was the mastermind of 9/11. There's no evidence to back it up. In fact, all the evidence suggests otherwise. But because it's repeated, it becomes the accepted fact. And it's just repetition, not research, that does it.
Well, let me ask you a few things. I want to clear up something there. We're talking about you, your early years. You were a footballer.
Uh-huh.
And you were then a television pundit, sports pundit. Is that about right?
Well, I was a television presenter, yeah.
Presenter. And then, just to clear this up, were you sacked from television because you said you were the son of God?
No, I wasn't sacked from television. I decided to leave television because it was a vacuous world in which you know, every day was the same round and round and round of the same monotonous platitudes, substanceless world most of the time, and I left. And I left because I wanted to know the answers to many questions, and that's why I left.
Could you not have studied and asked yourself those questions whilst working on television?
Well, no, because you know, my life started to change. The synchronicity of my life started to push me in certain directions, and I went with it. And I've never regretted it, because it has given me 15, 16 years already of amazing revelation in terms of understanding what is happening in the world, and that what we see is not what we get. And as the years have passed, particularly since 9/11, tremendous interest has started to grow in my work, in my books and stuff, because what I was saying in my earlier books is now happening. You know, it's not some Orwellian future that we're looking at. It's an Orwellian daily experience now, gathering by the day. And so all these years of research and in the early years ridicule are now coming to fruition, if you like, as people are starting to say, well, hold on a second, wasn't this guy saying that there was an agenda to microchip people, 10-15 years
and
ago.
People were calling you crazy then. Do you mind, David, while we're...
But they called people who said the Earth was round crazy because the prevailing, quote, wisdom, the repeating truth, was that it was flat. So, you know, what's new?
David, when you're on the line, do you mind if people would like, if they do, if they would like to phone, we can field a call, or if you don't want that to happen, we can leave it?
It doesn't matter to me.
Okay, well, if you would like to call and speak to David Icke, it's 902-444-461, 902-444-461, if you want to ask David. David, do you mind what we're going to do tonight, if we can? We're going to sort of talk about your books. I'm fascinated by Alice in Wonderland and the World Trade Center.
Yeah, that's extremely relevant to current events because that started a series of dominoes falling, 9/11, that continues to the present day. And again, if the first domino to fall, i.e. the whole September the 11th story, is a monumental lie in terms of the official version, then every other domino that's fallen since, Afghanistan, Iraq, etc., the destruction of our basic freedoms, is also based on a lie. So, you know, 9/11 gets more important in terms of focus rather than less with the passage of years.
Okay, we've got a caller on the line. Her name is Naomi. Naomi, you want to say a good evening to David Icke?
Hello. I never heard of this David.
Well, say good evening, but, first of all.
Good evening. I'm very sorry.
Hello. Yeah, neither is my wife, don't worry. She keeps looking at me and asking me who I am.
I cannot be biased or anything like that. And nobody told me about you, just tonight. So, but I found a flaw in your assessment of the situation, because you said that Bin Laden was not responsible. We saw it on the television that he, in the cave, while he was in the cave, he was saying to his friends there, and he sat down there on the floor, and he was saying that he was never thought that he's going to be so successful. So how do you say that he didn't...
Well, in the time we've got now, you know, it would take a long time to explain many things because this is a web and all the strands fit together. If you talk about one strand without fitting it to the other strands, then, you know, there's you get a false view of the information available. But if you go to my books, this sort of stuff is explained at length. The point being that the official story of 9/11, that these 19 hijackers took over the plane, etc., is completely unsustainable. What you find is that if one thing in the story is true, then another thing in the story can't be true, and if that's true, well, that can't be true. For instance, what we were told, and this is just a classic but very distinctive and relevant example, we were told immediately after the attacks that in a news conference in New York by the FBI and the New York police, that they had found a passport from one of the hijackers. This is a paper passport that somehow miraculously survived, even though we saw the fireball of the two planes. They somehow managed not only to find a paper passport, but realize it was one of the hijackers. A year later, when I went in researching Alice in Wonderland, and this is just one example of endless ones that I detail in the book, and said, could you tell me whose passport this was? Which one of the hijackers was it? They refused to tell me. Why? Because they couldn't tell me. And then an independent television documentary a year after 9/11 in Britain again went to the FBI and said, can you tell us about this hijacker's passport? Whose was it? How was it found, etc.? What about the fireball? And the reply from the FBI, a year after they called a news conference to say they'd found it, and see, it was those Arab hijackers, they said that the Arab hijacker's passport was, quote, a rumor that might be true. Yeah. And what you find when you go back to source, and I went to the security people at all the airports and to the FBI, etc., you find that when you ask the questions, there are no answers coming back because it was a constructed story.
To interrupt now. The thing is that you're telling me that, so I'm supposed to believe you. One moment.
I couldn't care less if you believe me. It's of no relevance. You must believe what you believe. I'm giving you what I've researched.
Okay, but the thing is, there cannot be two truths. there is one truth. One truth that I am sure about is that I saw with my own eyes and I heard him talking Arabic, and he said that he was so elated that how wonderful. And this scene was repeated on television so many times that I can see it still in my, I can see it in front of me.
Explain to me one thing.
He sat down by the, as he was talking, they were on the floor, and he went, he was standing, saying it. He went to the, and he joined them on the floor, and he was so elated, like if he was drunk. He never thought that he's going to be like that, so successful.
So, therefore, the 19 hijackers named by the FBI were responsible for the hijacking, right?
What you're saying about that. Just one thing I want to put you right. My one thing, the truth that it is true, is that what we saw, millions of us saw it, so you cannot contradict me. So, just that. You don't blame him that it's a lie, that he didn't do it.
Okay, no, we have to move on.
He's not guilty, then I mean...
Okay, Nomi, thanks for the question. Thanks for that.
I should read some of the mountain of the deluge of information available not only in my books, but a stream of other books that have come to be published since 9/11. And you'll realize that the official story that he was the mastermind, 19 hijackers, and all this stuff is complete and utter baloney, and they won't answer questions upon it anymore, because quite simply there are no answers if the official story is going to be sustained.
Well, David, I do have thanks for taking that call from Naomi. I do have some partners who believe it was a conspiracy. Before we get back, I've just mentioned Alison Wanna because it's an extraordinary book, as among many of your books. Can I put to you some names and let's hear your reaction so we can know your feelings about these people? And of course I have to start with George Bush.
Well, George Bush comes from a family which is one of a series of bloodlines going back a long, long way into the ancient world, that when you do the research and the genealogical research, you find that the same series of interbreeding bloodlines turn up in positions of power all over the place. When you look at the genealogy of the vast majority of American presidents from George Washington to George W. Bush, it reads as much like a royal dynasty as anything in Europe. Indeed, many of those presidents come from bloodlines that go back to the royal and aristocratic families of Europe. And it's no accident that in a country in which anyone can become president, so people believe, that's what one of the great foundations of support for this is a land of the free, is that anyone can become president. When you really, again, as I was saying earlier, when you get into the research behind the facade and behind the repeating beliefs, you find that's not true at all. And it's no accident that you have Prescott Bush, the grandfather of the present president, who was fundamentally involved in funding Hitler, as many researchers now, including the president of the Holocaust Museum in Florida, have established, was one of the funders of Adolf Hitler, who then produces Father George Bush, who became head of the CIA, head of the Republican Party at the time of the Watergate hearings, vice president, president, and many other
influential
positions.
We've got a caller, David, sorry.
And then his son becomes president. Now, this is a royal dynasty. This is not the land of the free. Anyone can become president.
Sorry, we've got a caller, David. Can we take, good evening, caller.
Hello, I want to ask Mr. Oleg. I mean, this is the only relevant to what I was just saying. Does he actually believe, literally, the extraterrestrial reptiles are in these positions of power, or is it a thinly veiled anti-Semitic reference as Mossad itself believes?
I didn't hear a word of that.
Nor did I. Sorry, you're on a mobile phone caller. Could you just move somewhere that we can pick you up clearly?
Okay, is that any better?
David, can you hear that?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Well,
okay, do you literally believe that these bloodlines are extraterrestrial reptiles, or is it an anti-Semitic reference, which Mossad itself believes? Mossad believes that your stance on these bloodlines, which include a lot of Jewish bloodlines in America, which you have actually accused of being extraterrestrial reptiles, Mossad believes it is, in fact, and in many right-wing skinhead groups, also believe that it's an anti-Semitic reference. And your policies are very anti-Semitic.
When did you talk to Mossad?
I haven't, but I've read a lot about stuff.
Where?
And I do believe, and I saw them on television once, saying that they believe that
Explain to me, when did you talk
about it? It was on
Mossad?
British television about 3-4 years ago. In a programme, and they had Mossad on, a representative of Mossad, saying that he believes that your policies...
Was I on the programme? Which you
have mentioned. Was
I on the programme you're talking about?
Yeah. References to you, but there's a programme about you, on your own programme.
Well, it wasn't Mossad.
It was a BBC programme.
The point is...
Anyway, I don't much phone, so if you carry on the programme, I'm afraid
Gold.
Okay. David, I suppose the type of books type of your writings that you make, you will get this sort of response.
Yeah, the thing is that if you want to discredit what someone's doing, then you just throw mud at them in every direction because you know some's gonna stick. And it's like the old thing, have you stopped beating your wife? Whichever way you answer the question, you can't win. And what happens is repeaters, like the last caller, hear these things. I mean, he's talking about Mossad. I've never been on a program in which Mossad was quoted. They just then throw this repeating rubbish with no substance, no research, no background at you, just as the same repeating mind accepts what's thrown at them through the media and believe that, and that becomes the truth. This is why 99.999% of what people believe is actually not true. You know, it's funny that I can name, and I counted them in my books, I went through all my books, I can name 90% of people in my books who are not Jewish as being involved in this, like the Bush family and the Rockefellers and endless bloody others, and yet I name a few, like Henry Kissinger and the Rothschild dynasty that are, and suddenly I'm anti-Semitic. I am not anti-British for talking about Blair and the British royal family.
David, are you
anti- it is so frustrating because the people are being manipulated because people just accept this rubbish and then repeat it because everyone knows that. I mean, it makes you despair.
But David, this is the whole platform of your beliefs, that this repeating is the thing that is all wrong. So you can't be surprised that people do it.
Not surprised.
Okay,
no,
can I ask you?
Can
I ask you? Are you anti-Semitic? Do you have Jewish friends?
I do. I mean, it's just rubbish. Now, if you want to hurl abuse at people, then he's anti-Semitic. Yeah. Load of rubbish.
Okay, right.
When you actually go further and you look at what I'm saying about the nature of reality, I'm actually saying in my books, not only is racism horrific, it's actually ludicrous because the physical body. And all the stuff about race and all that business, it's just a mind prison. It's not what we are. But we get caught in the idea that, I'm British and I'm white and I'm black and all this stuff, when actually we're all a single consciousness. Does that sound racist to you?
No.
It's the opposite of it.
In fact,
the repeaters just go on repeating the rubbish, and then more repeaters believe what they say purely by hearing them.
It's like a bit like pyramid sales, I suppose.
Oh, exactly.
You know, David, let's talk about something. Certainly, there's the books that you've written that I can't get my head into at the policy. But there are things that you have written that I think, in my mind, are extremely important, and that is the exposing of people like Benny Hinn, because I think these lowlifes should be exposed for what they are. These are money-grabbing people who hide behind the coattails of God, and I think that more and more publicity should be made about them to warn people.
Well, I think, you know, I mean, I have my views on religion. I think, personally, religion is the greatest form of mind control ever invented, because we're dealing here with all possibility, and yet religions tend to build walls which shut out all possibility if it's outside the belief system.
Are you agnostic?
I don't have any belief in organized religion.
Do you believe in the Almighty?
I say that everything is one consciousness, and increasingly quantum physicists are supporting with their findings exactly that. When I talked years ago about being a son of God. I was talking about being an aspect of the whole. And I was saying that we're all, if you want to use that symbolism, we're all sons of God and daughters of God, because we're all expressions of this one consciousness. If you want to call that one consciousness God, please feel free. Who, call it Ethel if you like. It's just, it just is.
Who, David, and thanks, David Icke on the line. Who, and who else? Who is Jesus Christ?
I don't think there was one. When you look, you do again the serious research into that, and a friend of mine, a scientist friend of mine in America, who was a very strong advocate of Christianity, he set out in the 60s to prove that Jesus existed, and in very little time he found himself proving that he didn't. When you look at the story of Jesus, it's a repeat of a constantly recurring story that goes back thousands of years of the Son of God who is born to a miraculous conception, who then goes on to be the teacher, and then dies and is crucified. I mean, this is a repeating story using different names. Mithra, Jesus, Tammuz in Babylon. It's all the same basic story. See, I don't accept the existence of a literal Jesus, no.
You see, one of the things that I remember seeing once on television many years ago was a person who went to study, as you did, the story of Jesus and find out as much factual evidence as they could find. And they had seen or got involved with people who had dug up put forward the Dead Sea Scrolls, which I think are now in the Vatican, which were written at the time of Christ, Jesus Christ, but never mentioned him, and that worried them a lot.
Yeah, well, the thing is, Maurice, that, again, when you do the research, you find that, again, this is one of the major centers of this secret society network that calls itself the Illuminati, was ancient Babylon. Now, what happened was this headquarters was moved eventually from Babylon to Rome. And with that relocation, the religion of Babylon was taken to Rome, and just the names changed. This is why you find that the religious days of Babylon became the religious days of Christianity. This is why you find that in Babylon, thousands of years before Christianity, they had a trinity of Nimrod, the fish, who was called the father, Queen Semiramis, the goddess figure, who was known as the Virgin Queen, who gave a miraculous conceptive birth to Tammuz the son, and they said that Tammuz and Nimrod the father were one, father and son were one, and you had everything that the Roman Church, relocated to Rome, gave basically to Mother Mary, was what they had taken from the Babylon myths of